Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Let those who worship evil's might beware my power. Green Lantern's light.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is DC Movie News, bringing you the most up-to-date discussion and commentary within the DC Universe.
Welcome to DC Movie News, broadcasting to you live from the all-new Popcorn Talk Studios in NoHo, California. This is our first show here, that's right. Ladies and gentlemen, how are you today? We are only 6 months away from Batman v Superman.
Someone said that to me the other day on Twitter. I forgot about it. I was like, it is. We've been so long going on this now.
You know, when we started this show, it seemed like there was so far to go before Batman v Superman.
And they pushed it back.
And now with 6 months to go, it seems like there is so far to go before Batman v Superman.
I love that I still don't know much about it. I'm speculating the hell out of it, but I still don't know much about it.
Star Wars has done such a great job of keeping themselves shrouded in mystery.
People are getting pissed about Star Wars. They're like, all right, we get the mystery box, but give us a trailer.
No,
they're
man.
Getting pissed. I'm like, I love it.
Keep
it, I don't
it quiet. Keep it quiet. We don't want to know. Yeah, we want to speculate. We want to be wrong.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're doing a show dedicated, and if this is the first time you're checking us out, what we do here is we talk about all the latest rumors concerning the DC movie universe, DCEU, as it's being called. But because there's so much time before we get started, we'll also do a little bit of Roxy Stryer's TV time. We'll also give a little bit of snippets of animated films. We'll talk a little bit about DC-related comic books.
Talk to your mom sometimes?
Sometimes my mom will call
in. Is she calling in?
I don't think so. There was no ribs being cooked today. But I did bring today this Lego Batman alarm clock, which was given to me by Sandy Gertler.
And it's not a bomb.
And look at that. No, it's not a bomb. Sometimes, Robin, you can't just get rid of a bomb. No, but if you push him down, he lights up. And he talks like Will Arnett. Hey, I'm the Dark Knight. Hey, how are you?
It's pretty good.
Yeah, just raspy. That's all that is.
Yeah.
So, guys, we got a little bit of rumors. It's been a while since we were here. Last week, Roxy did a little special TV time show. That was fun.
Yeah, it was really fun. You guys ditched me. I told everybody I kicked you out, but that wasn't the truth. You ditched me. And then I did a whole TV time episode, which I will say half the people were really excited about and loved it. And the other half were like, but this is DC Movie News. And mm-hmm. I was like, yes. That's why it's a special TV time episode. But I love you guys anyway,
sometimes
so I hope you enjoyed it.
Sometimes it's hard for people to understand stuff.
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes it's hard for me to understand stuff.
Me too.
And by the way, this is Adam Gertler. This is Mike Kalinowski, and I'm Roxy Stryer, if you're listening for the first time.
Oh, that's right. I'm Adam Gertler. You can find me at Adam Gertler.
Mike Kalinowski, you can find me at Mike Kalinowski.
And I'm Roxy Stryer, and you can find me at Roxy Stryer. And Johnny LaQuasto will be joining us in the next coming weeks, and you can find him at Jay Quasto. He's like on a bus somewhere.
It's like a party bus. The top opens up, and it's like a football field. And
I texted him, and I was like, ooh, you're getting real fratty? And he was like, no, I am not.
What's wrong with being a frat guy?
I don't know, but he clarified that he's not drinking. He's not drinking when he's there. He's not doing anything. He's just working. He's on the bus. Like, made me, like, I don't know, just do some weird cough thing. But also, he just, like, is really not
and
fratty.
And they're tailgating at the football games.
Really,
he's not drinking.
I will show you the text. I will publish them on our Twitter. He's not.
Hey, Johnny LaQuasto, I know you're listening to this right now. And
he's being a good boy, like a good little church
we're
boy.
We're a little bit older than you, and we're here to tell you, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
You're doing it wrong.
Yes, Johnny, we're a little older than you.
Yeah, especially Roxy. What about you, Mike? What's going on in your world?
I don't know what's been going on. It's been a weird couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Auditions are kind of up and down and here and there, and yeah, that's weird. It's good to be back.
Hey, are you holding out for your Booster Gold Blue Beetle thing?
Well, they haven't called yet. I got the phone right here. I'm waiting for it.
Which is such a smooth
segue.
We'll get
to it a little bit later. What I should do for that then.
No, that is a great segue into the first piece of DC Movie EU News.
I set it up, and then he was like, we'll talk about it later.
Well, I was going to go off something we're going to talk. You'll see.
Okay.
Okay, so
around.
So Slash Film reported, everybody reported basically, that there are these rumors that there is a buddy cop film in the works, a comedy of sorts from Warner Brothers DC involving Booster Gold and Blue Beetle. And the rumor mill, which makes it even stranger, is also pointing to the czar of DC television, Greg Berlanti, to direct the film, which is rumored to be written by Zach Penn, who is no stranger to comic book movies.
X-Men.
X-Men. He wrote Incredible Hulk. He's been involved in some other TV projects a lot. I mean, yeah, Zach Penn is all over the stuff.
It's interesting because it wasn't announced in that initial kind of outpouring. Looking back,
do you think it's true? I mean, a lot of people are saying, like, look, this doesn't... It was reported by one website that, you know, and then it caught fire, but Warner Brothers hasn't said anything
now,
about it.
What strikes me is this. Remember a while back when The Atom came on Arrow, and they wanted Blue Beetle for that. They wanted Ted Kord. They set it up for Ted Kord. In the breakdowns that the cast directors and agents get, it didn't say Ted Kord. It was like, that's Ted Kord.
Right.
And then they said, we had plans. We wanted to use him. DC said, you can't use him. We have plans for him.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Remember that?
Yeah.
And yes,
and you said that on the show. I remember.
Two separate worlds, the TV and the movie world. But
we know that there are certain heroes that are not going to do double duty. In fact, I'm going to say there are very few heroes that I believe will be doing double duty.
That's not actually true. There's a lot of...
The Flash?
Yeah.
Lantern will not be showing up on
TV,
I doubt.
Well, it's
going to... Well... Well, it's not a superhero I ever heard of.
I mean, are we talking about Gotham?
Is Will Vertigo or DC?
Are we going into Gotham also?
Yeah, sure.
Well, then we're going to get...
But that's not part of it. That's not part of CW's universe.
No, but she's
it's
CW's,
but it's part of TV.
We're going to get Batman and Gotham, the last episode.
No, but even still, so even going into Gotham...
We got Jerome, who is supposedly the Joker.
But you don't know that for sure, and I bet he's probably not.
Yeah, I'm praying that he's not.
Who else?
Bruce
Wayne,
we're not
obviously you'll have a Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
But he'll never be Batman
on
the show.
So now, and we have already established there is a Superman. We're just not going to see him, but he's in Supergirl's universe.
I'm still not getting double duties here, Roxy Stryer.
You're getting double duties.
Not so much.
My point is,
by and large, they're keeping them separate.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
So I think
The Flash being a notable exception.
Well, they were kind of screwed themselves there. There was no way they could not have put The Flash in the movie universe.
Not have Flash.
Yeah, so.
And I'm certainly glad they didn't avoid giving The Flash a TV show because we all love that show so much.
Right.
And they're doing such a great job.
Well, though, speaking of the TV shows,
we don't even know that Commissioner Gordon's going to be in the movies.
No, I think we know that he's not going to be in the movies.
Right.
What I think is interesting, though, is that I think that a Booster Gold Blue Beetle team up would actually make for better television than a movie right now with what they have going on in their movie
universe.
And I've heard some people say that, too, and the fact that Berlanti is attached to it, it does. And the fact that it could be a buddy cop comedy sort of, to me, takes the onus off having to have $100 million special effects, and it puts it more on developing the writing and the relationships between the characters.
I agree.
Yeah, and... But it kind of goes against what they're saying, and we'll get into a little bit what the guy with Wonder Woman was saying, with the DC Universe, what they've created and what they're going with, being darker, more serious. So, I don't know. It's a very...
Fans, viewers of DC Movie News, what do you guys think? Do you guys think that there is fire where this Booster Gold smoke is, or do you think that this is just another rumor? Because I don't know where I... To me, like, it came out, and there's been nothing else to support it, so I'm kind of thinking it's not happening.
On Supergirl, though. Right? Peter Facinelli is Maxwell Lord.
Yes.
And he always played really well with Blue Beetle and Booster Gold when they were part of the JLI?
There's nothing to say that you couldn't bring Booster Gold and Blue Beetle into Supergirl's world. Because if Supergirl's world is going to be kept separate from Arrow, you could then start to segment off another little piece of the DC universe for the CBS verse.
So there was never an official WB saying this is what we're doing, right?
No.
From what I remember. It was all kind of speculation.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I can see it being TV.
Kevin Tsujihara has nothing to do with saying anything about this now.
I think it's more towards TV.
If there is fire where there's smoke and this is a movie, do we feel like it fits with the tone of the other movies? Do we feel like it has a place right now? Is this something that anybody would want to see? Or is this supposed to be kind of campy and funny and we've got some, you know, the witty back
I've got
and
no
forth
problem with
them?
That. Personally, to me, I've got no problem. As long as the movie defines itself... It could even exist in the same world, and it could find the humor within that. To me, I'm okay with that because comic books do that all the time.
Sure,
the reboot of I'm going to get a little nerdy now, but like what was it? Was it X Factor? What was the one that took
X Factor where they eat the worms?
X Factor? No, that's...
No, that's Fear Factor.
Okay. No.
Oh, yeah.
it was X Factor where, like... Peter Milligan did the run where they kind of got like funny and it had like
the big strong guy was in
had,
it.
Had, yeah, it had strong guy and multiple men.
It's like America's Got Talent kind of thing. Right.
So, but that exists within the Marvel Universe, but it's also a really funny book. That's all I'm saying. I'm saying you can establish a world. It doesn't need to be a standalone. It could still live in that world.
Right.
And they can have funny adventures within that. And then I hope they do. I just think it's a little early before we've had one film come out to start expanding and how we're going to have subverses of this. You know what I mean?
We've got a lot of things going on in the chat right now. The Stegman says, I think each movie will have its own tone. I don't think the entire DCEU will have the no joke rule. Jake Cool Zero says, if the Booster Gold rumor was true, a trade would have come out confirming it, but no one has.
None of the major trades. That's a really good point.
It was like almost 2 weeks ago that came out, and we haven't heard anything about it.
Does anybody remember a show from like 20 years ago on CBS called Hard Time on Planet Earth? With the guy that was the head of the, who are the bad karate guys on Karate Kid?
Cobra Kai guys.
Okay,
so Martin Cove?
Martin Cove. Okay. He was an alien doing Hard Time on planet Earth. And he had this little flying around thing that was like Skeets.
Okay.
That he kind of talked to. Hard Time on planet Earth. Look it up. I don't know where that just popped out of. That's really funny. I don't think anybody's made a reference to that show since there's been an internet working.
I didn't know there was a show to make a reference to.
I think it was right there.
That's awesome.
But it was great. It had some cool computer effects, I think, way ahead of its time. But now let's talk about some news that might be disturbing to some of you. So the film, and unless I'm wrong about this, guys, the film after Suicide Squad is Wonder Woman, right? Coming out in 2017.
It goes BVS, with Suicide Squad.
And Justice then Wonder Woman.
Justice League. Yeah.
No.
I think Wonder Woman,
Wonder
first,
Woman
Justice,
is first.
Wonder Woman
is
first.
So, we have a couple of reports that we know we got Patty Jenkins directing the film. We know we have Chris Pine and Steve Trevor. We don't really know who the writer is. In fact, we even have Jason Fuchs, who was on, I believe it was Collider that was interviewing Jason Fuchs, and they came right out and they asked him, about the project, and he was dodgy about it. He's like, look, I can't say anything about it, but I believe that there's a quote, if you can bring me that quote.
Yeah, he says, Warner has been very kind to me, I have to say. This is what I would say. When you work for DC, it's sort of like working for the CIA. You have a vow of silence. I think as we speak, Zack Snyder's going to come in here and put a muzzle on me. The trouble with these things is that you really can't say so. You can't say much. So I'm excited about everything that's going on in that universe, and I've clearly read the same reports that you've read about my involvement and what that might be, but I can only speak to it as a fan. I can tell you I am someone who from a very young age was a huge fan of DC Comics, a huge fan of the key. So he just goes on
the Troika. He says Troika, which I think is great.
Okay, but he goes on for a long time about it.
But I want to talk about this.
So he's doing what Moore did for months. We all knew he was.
But he's the writer.
But maybe DC's just saying, you know what, guys?
We know who's writing Star Wars Episode 8. We know who's writing the first couple of standalones. Like, there's no movies with more secrecy than the Star Wars movies. Like, why wouldn't they tell you who's writing it?
Also, Wonder Woman is the movie that they put. Didn't they put like six writers in a room and they're all throwing pitches out?
So do you think they're approaching it like a writer's room style and they're still talking
together? I also think
the
problem is there are so many problems with the Writers Guild Association, their union, and as far as who gets credit and who gets credited for and all the money that goes into that. From what I know...
This is why Kalinowski is great to have on the show, guys. He's working in the industry. He knows what's going on. This is true.
I have friends that are writers and they swear by the Directors Guild. Directors love their union. As an actor, my union's... I love SAG. SAG-AFTRA union.
He has to say that, by the way.
You hear that,
SAG? He literally has to say that.
He loves you.
The writers have a lot of problems with their union. A huge amount of problems with their union. So this could also be a union thing. Whose name gets on it, who's being credited.
I had not thought of it from that point of view.
A writer probably did a first draft, and then 10 other writers come on, but that first writer, because of the union, the rules, whatever, his name is the first name for it.
Do you think he knows if he's the writer, or do you think he legitimately doesn't? Is it really in a weird space right now?
Script is in the mix.
Here's why I feel like he knows something a little more. So I'm reading further into this quote, and he says it's a really specific, grand, slightly darker, slightly grittier place.
Which is like the boilerplate response that everybody seems to be be saying about anything DC.
Of course it is, but I don't think he would feel comfortable saying anything about the place if he wasn't some kind of a writer on this project. I think he would say, it seems like it's a grittier, they're making a grittier universe. He wouldn't say it is. I feel like he definitely is involved in some way. I would love to see him involved in some way. I think he knows more than we do. I don't think he's just reading about it in the papers
are. This is the standard response for anybody rumored to be involved with DC. It's like, hey, I'm sorry. This is going to be different than Marvel.
It's going to be dark, kind of gritty.
It's going to be a lot grittier.
Yeah, but those people have usually been involved. The people who do that, right. Because they're looking to... If he wasn't involved, he would say...
But he's also hedging his bets. He doesn't want to piss anyone off. He wants the job.
So you don't think he's going to Instagram a picture of him writing scripts? He's not going to say,
I don't think you're going to see Jason Fuchs tweeting, I had a great version of this Wonder Woman script a year ago. Too bad. Like, she'll never see the light of day.
He's not going to Instagram a picture of a script with Themyscira and it's kind of blurred out. And like, first draft. No, he's not going to do that.
What is the chat roll saying there?
A lot of different things. I'm rooting for DCEU so much that every time I hear potentially bad news, my stomach sinks.
I get that. So just to voice, the negative side of this is, I think, they're building this huge movie, this huge universe, and they don't even know what the script is yet. But then the other side of me, I counter that and I say, hey, when DC Comics or Marvel are looking at their production slate for a year, it's the editorial staff that puts together what the stories will be, and they don't always know who's writing every script. Right. So if you think of it in terms of building a comic book universe, but applying that to film, maybe this is a viable approach. And it's somebody saying like, hey, I've got the Wonder Woman script, because that wouldn't work in this shared universe. We saw that happen with the Edgar Wright thing, where Edgar Wright was developing an Ant-Man movie for 8 years, and it's like, hey, sorry, dude, that's a great movie, but it doesn't fit in our world anymore.
Right.
So maybe, it's just two sides of the coin. We haven't seen any films yet, so we don't know if it's going to work or not. But it gives me pause, and then I think maybe they know what they're doing.
I will say a lot of people in the chat today are mentioning Max Landis. They just keep talking about him and that he would be great. And I have to say, I met him the other day, and I asked if he would come on
at
the show.
At Schmoes? When he was at Schmoes?
And I asked if he would come on the show, and he said he would.
Oh, great! Oh, I thought he was awesome. I listened to him on that as well.
So his Superman comic is coming out in a month, so we'll bring him on to promote it.
Is it an Earth One comic? Well, what's the deal with
it? He may or may not have given me a sneak peek. Preview. No, he didn't. No, he's not allowed.
What's the deal? What's the deal with the comic?
It's a seven-part. It was really interesting with all seven different illustrators and all different take on Superman. He's got a really interesting take. So we'll see. We'll see how it turns out.
How exciting is that? That the guy who wrote Chronicle is getting into the DCU as a writer. Like, what a great... See, that's smart, because here's a guy who's had success as a screenwriter. He's had a lot of films come out. Now he's going to go write some comics. So I would bet dollars to donuts that we're going to see Max Landis writing a DC script at some point.
Yeah, and I actually... I had to mention you when I was talking to him, and I was like, if I didn't ask you on the show, Adam would be pissed, because he's going to want to know all about this comic, and he's going to want it. So he said he would come on for you.
He was super cool. If you didn't listen to that Schmoes No broadcast, the Schmoes No movie show he was on last week with my co-host from FX Movie Download, Sasha Pearl Raver.
Love her.
Yes.
Yeah, he was great. And then he also did Movie Fights the other week, and he was great on that. Was it him that
released his like four pages of Fantastic Four?
That
was awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
Same tone, but it was very cool.
He's a great guy to listen to because he knows pitch. He obviously grew up John Landis is his dad, you know, like he knows the industry. So he speaks as a fanboy, but he also can speak as someone who knows the industry. So it's like we like to get our fanboys in a bunch, but he's like, hey, listen, so much of this stuff is so random, guys, you know.
He's incredibly polarizing though. Half the people in the chat right now are like, he's got to come into the DCEU, and half the people are like, you got to keep him on a leash. I don't know. So we'll see.
Well, I think Max Landis, if you're listening to this, it's obvious that when you do come in here, you will be wearing a leash. I mean, hopefully you're okay with that. It will be a lasso of truth, but it will be a leash.
He came in with a bat to another show, so I don't know if he's going to wear a leash on this show.
They used to call me Crazy Max. Now they call me Batman.
Max is the guy you hate till you love. Yeah, that's true, Rich.
So anyway, what's going on in the world of Wonder Woman? What's going on in the world of Aquaman? Jason Momoa, who is, you know, out of all the shrapnel of the positive hate and adoration that comes out of the DC movie universe before we know anything, one guy that seems to get universally loved is Momoa. People seem to be on board with him as Aquaman.
Is it all because of Game of Thrones? Is that why?
I don't know, because he doesn't look anything like Aquaman. What the fans would want, or everyone was going into wanting. Doesn't look anything like we've seen.
It just seemed like a character that people would be ready for an about-face kind of approach.
Okay, fair enough.
You know, because of his role in Game of Thrones. It was one of those things, it was a zeitgeist thing. Where it just felt right to everybody at the right time. I don't even know if you could put your finger on it, but he does have, you know, his Pacific Islander background. He's got, like, gills tattooed on his body already. Like, he feels like the guy. Anyway, he just mentioned the fact that there will be hints of the orange and green as an homage to the original, to the previous work, essentially.
The exact quote is, "Well, there might be some bit of orange and green, a bit of respect to prior work."
But even more interesting, do you have his comments about Aquaman and what side Aquaman will be taking in BVS?
He's pissed.
It's really interesting. He's like, I'm not choosing Batman or Superman.
He never would mess the ocean up. But I think we kind of saw that with being a direct sequel to Man of Steel, where it's like, that Indian Ocean, the world engine is destroying the ocean down there. That's what we're talking about. Like, he's finally going to make his presence known. Like, oh, you're going to come into my world? I own, you know, he's what, 2/3 of the world is water? So you say he left everyone alone, left the earth alone, but now you're coming into my world? He's like, okay, now I'm coming out.
Listen, when the synopsis for Batman v Superman came out, and it was described as, you know, how Batman would be fighting Superman until a new threat rises, some people pointed out, and I jumped on board with the fact that that threat rising from the ocean could in fact be Aquaman as the ultimate villain in Batman v Superman. And now the rhetoric seems to be all doomsday, but we still don't know how, and we know Aquaman's going to have a small part, but how is he going to fit into this movie? And I wouldn't be surprised if he's taking both of those guys out, because Aquaman and an army of Atlanteans could definitely put up a fight between Batman and Superman.
Yeah, I agree. The quote you wanted me to pull up was a bit of respect to our prior work, but I think he is is meaner now and upset. Look at what he's done to our oceans. That's his world that's been polluted. So he says that, and then the thing that I saw on every single site this week, which kind of confused me why people were so into this, was the fact that he was scanned for he confirmed that he has been scanned
for toys.
Aquaman toys. But were people thinking that might not happen? Because of course he got scammed.
Maybe it was a slow news weekend.
Listen,
Scoop McNeary got scanned for toys.
Yeah,
everyone's being scanned.
Like Aquaman, he was scanned. Yes, because
it's not
he's
news,
one of the biggest characters.
Yeah.
I'm not hating on anybody who's excited about this. It's an exciting thing, I suppose, but it just...
I think we're all just so... We want information.
Yeah.
We want pictures. We want something.
Yeah.
So when everything comes up, we're like, we grasp to it. I think that's what that is.
I'm almost excited for the holiday season to get here so we can have just some other distractions. So, you know, we can just, like, come out of it and be like, oh, what is it, mid-January already?
Yeah.
Oh, now we're close. You know, it's going to be the next 3 months are going to be the hardest to wait. But anyway, it's just exciting. Zack Snyder seems to have the case of, like, contradicting himself. You know, previously he said that, you know, Batman v Superman is not in any way a sequel to Man of Steel. And now he's kind of like, no, it's basically the sequel to Man of Steel. It continues that story.
Yeah.
He's a weird dude. He's a weird dude.
He is a weird dude.
Yeah, he's somebody who, like, if you pulled up all of his quotes, he's a flip-flopper. I don't know if he does it on purpose. I'm okay with it.
He strikes me as the kind of guy that is good at working with the corporation. You know what I mean? Like, he's good at being a company man.
But does he? They trust him, and he does his own thing. And
he'll contradict himself and, like, say what he needs to say to get it out there.
He seems like the kind of guy that you work with who's like, all right, let me handle this. I'll talk to them. Just let me do this. Yes. Goes back. All right, we can do what we want. Like, he knows. And the people in charge, they just want to know that their product is in good hands. They just want, you know, you don't have to do what they say, but they want you to think you're doing it.
Exactly.
So he just...
I just felt like when I read this, though, don't you feel like there's a difference to this happens after Man of Steel versus this is Man of Steel 2? Like,
no, he didn't say it is Man
of
Steel,
well,
but it's
says,
essentially
think,
is, yeah.
He said, I think, in a way, Batman v Superman is Man of Steel 2.
Okay.
That's
the
quote.
There you go.
So I just thought that was fascinating because I think people are interpreting that as, oh, it's the next event, but I'm thinking that is like, this is Superman's movie.
That's a way of him saying, like, when we get that Man of Steel sequel in, you know, 2020 or whatever, think of that more like Man of Steel 3. So you already had your two in 2015.
That's what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, it was an interesting way of phrasing it.
It is very interesting. We don't really know what their plans are. He also said, oddly, it would be interesting to see what that would be like, a solo Superman movie, because he did make one himself, so that is a little unusual of a thing to say. But I'm still really hoping that that George Miller thing is true, and like they're just like keeping it from us, like some serious.
Holding out hope.
You know what? And I want it to be a freaking off-world, crazy, out there, just like Mad Max is in the desert. Put Superman in outer space with crazy aliens. You know, have him do Battle World. Have him do like crazy Man of Steel story. Not Battleworld, I guess is that, that's the Marvel one, but...
I know what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, there was that period where, you know, somebody pointed this out, interestingly, the other day, and I've mentioned this on the show. There was a great period where Superman was schizophrenic in the comics, and he was going out as, like, gangbuster at night. And then he realized that he was doing it, and he eventually exiled himself. He had a psychological break because he had killed Zod at that time, or, like, you know, so, like... It was a weird thing. It was a weird parallel thing. And that was like in that 80s in that like John Byrne or Dan Jurgens era. But I love that period. I love it. Like Superman was bare-chested with just his like, you know, tight red underwear and blue boots on. And he had like an oxygen mask. And he was just a gladiator and he got a huge beard. It was kind of wild.
From your description, it seems absolutely wild.
It was wild.
I love nothing more than when Adam gets very invested.
I like
in
Gladiator Superman. I want to be scanned for a toy of that. Gladiator Superman.
You could do it. You could absolutely do it.
You know, after all the weird things that Jesse Eisenberg said, it seems like nobody in Batman v Superman is more careful to speak more, I will say, respectfully of the property. You know, because Jesse Eisenberg has a certain... a certain snobbiness about him that means that, like, he feels like you feel like he would attach himself to sort of more important projects.
I find this to be the strangest thing in the entire of our entire podcast, the strangest response, because I feel like whenever I'm talking to anybody outside of being in this room and we're talking about Jesse, people are like, he seems like a dick, dude. But then I'll say on the show, like, his genocide comment, I thought he was being an ass or whatever it is. And all the comments are like, he's the best guy, Roxy. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. I feel like I'm living in an alternate universe right now. Like, I think that it's okay that he's a dick because he's not playing Superman. He's playing Lex. And I don't mind that he's a dick. But I think he's a total dick.
Yeah. And guys, it's obviously we don't know.
I don't know
what he's like. But I mean, like, would you rather go have a beer with, like, Hugh Jackman or Jesse Eisenberg? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I don't know what to say about it.
But look, the point is this particular quote where he's just speaking to...
This wasn't dickish at all.
This was not dickish at all. This was... He speaks to the sophisticated themes that go on in BBS, and basically there's another quote that Roxy's going to give you right now.
I'll tell you that the man wrote the movie, Chris Terrio, is absolutely phenomenal, and he said nothing but that this entire time. He also wrote Argo. He's such a brilliant guy, so well-read. He's interested in very sophisticated topics and discussions. So in Batman v Superman, even though it's a superhero movie, people who don't necessarily see movies in that genre, like this crowd, will probably enjoy it. Probably. He's hedging his bets. It discusses sophisticated and important
things. He said like this crowd because he's speaking at like a writer's guild or something like that.
No, but not the part that will probably enjoy it.
But I think that, it just explains the different levels that they're operating on, you know.
Remember, David Goyer was writing this film at some point, and now the rhetoric is all about Chris Terrio. So during that delay period, Chris Terrio, when Affleck came aboard, he's like, my guy Chris Terrio, and we've said this before on the show, but this just solidifies that idea that they were like, listen, if you're going to sell these films, if you're going to sell this sort of mythology, you know, these gods on Earth, you need to do it with good writing. People aren't just going to just accept throwing some effects on the screen.
Right.
And the script of Man of Steel was a sore spot, a place of complaint for some people.
To people, yeah.
Okay. So now moving on, somebody who's already involved, this is probably my favorite item of news of the day, somebody who's already involved in the DC Extended Universe.
You think this is your favorite?
This is my favorite piece of the day, guys. Get ready for it. Turn up your... If you're listening to the show and not watching it, I feel bad for you on this piece of news. This is one where you really want to watch the podcast.
Yeah, it's so interesting coming off of her saying that she doesn't really like a lot of females and think that they're strong in this. Now she wants to play a whole new role.
Exactly. It seems like the Enchantress, Cara Delevingne, is possibly interested in playing Supergirl. And the reason we determine this is because she, like so many actors who want to express who they want to play via Instagram, has done the same thing.
Yeah.
So here's a great shot of
cosplay.
Cara Delevingne in a Supergirl themed outfit. And
one might describe it
to the
as
fans
such.
Of DC Movie News. I say you're welcome.
And the little star covering her star parts. It's a nice.
Oh, if you do a quick Google search, guys, you can find that star part uncovered. That's all I'm gonna say. That's your homework assignment. What? That's cool. I'm just saying.
I find nothing wrong with it. She's a hottie.
It's natural beauty.
Yeah, and she got some nice pictures back, too. You know, it's a give one, get one kind of thing.
So Cara Delevingne is doing, like, a little selfie off with Kate Moss, another very popular supermodel.
So can you describe, so if people are just listening, can you describe what they're actually seeing?
So what it is, it's a picture of Cara Delevingne lying down, topless, wearing a fur jacket, and a pair of panties with a Supergirl symbol. Right in the middle.
And obviously, being the attention to detail person that I am,
yeah.
The first things I'm like, what are her tattoos? What's under her boobs? What is that on her hands? And Adam's like, I don't effing care what's under her boobs.
Yeah, she's got some tattoos.
Hands. What are you looking at? That was me. She's a hot number.
Cara, remember me? We met during the Paper Towns interview. I was there. You were holding a bullhorn at the time, but that was me. I was talking to you. Anyway.
Okay.
So that's it for movie news, guys. So I guess it's an early show today. Got nothing else to talk about.
No, I'm sorry. What? We don't have anything to talk about? You don't want to talk about some TV?
Maybe. Is it time for Roxy Stryer's TV time?
It's always time for Roxy Stryer's TV time.
It's time for Roxy Stryer's TV time. Sing it. Roxy Stryer's TV time. She thinks
that the Flash is fine.
Yes, I do.
DC movie news. It's time to talk.
TV time! Okay, so
are you missing it all a little bit in any way? Just TV, 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 TV.
Not even a little bit.
Nope.
You just set us back 2 weeks.
Yep.
You set us back to 8 months before Batman v Superman. Good. All right, first thing. Some people on Twitter wanted us to talk about this, so I'll bring it up right now. What did we think of the Gotham Season 2 premiere?
I have thoughts on it.
Okay, tell me what your thoughts are. I want to hear.
Because
we were pretty negative on it. And some people's attitude, which I think is so crazy, in the chat rooms, it was like, hey, they're giving us a show that takes place in the Batman universe. It's okay. We should just like it. Like, we should just like it no matter what.
A lot of people reached out to me on Twitter asking me about it. And
what do you think, guys? I want to hear what you think.
You know, I wish... I love the
casting.
You
better be nice.
I love him as Gordon. I love Bullock. I just... take Batman out of it. We don't need it. We don't need Bruce Wayne. We don't... Like, even in the comic
you
books...
You may take me out of
it. They show all the cast, and they put the cast... kind of makes this bat wing, and there's this photo of all of them photoshopped, and Bruce is coming out of a cave, and it's like, no, do a Gordon, and the Court of Owls are bringing it. That's what they should do. And don't do that. They're
that's exciting because
don't
that's
do
a show
that they are, you know, offshoots of the Court of Owls' sons that are going to grow up to be them. No, the Court of Owls has been around since Gotham was created,
and that's why that's a great storyline to
that.
Mine for Gotham, and it's a recent storyline. It's only within the
Scott Snyder
too.
Court of Owls was brilliant.
It's a great idea. It's a great idea to get. And we had a cape.
Negate anything.
We had a weirdo in a cape with a blue smoke and a thing. What was going on with that guy?
With the burp. With the potion.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's my thing overall. I went into this with the absolute lowest expectations that somebody could possibly go into a season 2 premiere.
Uh-huh.
It did better than I thought it would. Mm-hmm. So I was pleasantly surprised in that way. You have to take everything that you wanted this show to be initially and throw that out the window and know that somebody's been given the keys to a kingdom that he's going to run with and make his own story out of. He's got a sandbox. He's got his characters.
You're talking about showrunner Bruno Heller.
Yeah, and he's running a little wild here. This show is wacky. There are I've never watched a show before where there are so many scenes that I hate so much and so many scenes that I really enjoy. Like, I either think that it's the worst scene that's ever been on television, i.e. the scene with Jerome, which was like the one scene they chose to leak, and I almost didn't watch the show.
I still didn't understand that, because I think that was the worst scene of the episode.
By far and away. He made me cringe. It was so bad. Watching it was like, I want to tear my eyes out. But I think that finally they found out who Barbara is. She's a psycho, and I love her. I think she's fabulous. I have no idea how they're going to handle the fact that every villain and all the age differences and the frickin' Bruce letter, unless you have a calling, a very distinct calling, go F yourself. That's ridiculous.
Yeah,
like,
weird.
I know that he's going to be Batman. We all know.
Just ship him off. Ship Bruce
eventually
off.
He's got to be shipped off,
right?
He's
got to go now. You know, he's supposed to wait till he's 18, goes to college, does a couple colleges, of course, you know, and then he goes to the FBI. That's the stuff you want to see with Bruce Wayne, doing the FBI. Make that a side thing of what he's doing. But Gotham, let it be Gotham. They killed off Maroni, which is the stupidest thing they could have done. The mob was what was great about that. You could have had The Wire on TV, but in Gotham.
My favorite scene, which was all too brief, and I'm sure we'll get more, but was like the scene in the bar with Bullock, now retired from the force, and they go have a, you know, and they have that hug together, head to head. I'm like, I don't know what show that is from. Like, that seems from a different episode or a show. Like,
that's,
I want to
watch
that
Gotham,
show.
Gotham, yeah.
I feel like a little bit of a hypocrite because Bruno Heller also did the show Rome, which I love. And now that I think about it, what he did with ancient Roman history is even more fast and loose with the history of Gotham, which is actually fictional history. So, but I liked it with Rome.
That's why the people who are the truest comic book fans that love to stick to these stories are hating the show, and I completely understand that. But if you're going to go in with that attitude, you're going to hate the show. So if you can change your attitude and change your mindset, you might actually have a good time.
Okay. I'm probably in a minority here in the sense that my love of Batman comes from Batman.
Yeah.
Like, people love the Batman movies, and they go so excited for them because they love the villains. And I go, I would see a movie with Batman fighting mobsters. I don't care that there's no colorful villains. I don't want them. I love Batman in the universe for Batman and Bruce Wayne.
I agree.
That's what I go for.
No, because the point is that
there
is...
telling a story with Bruce Wayne and Gotham, it's... I can't get invested in. I just can't.
It's hard because the world was put in so, you know, sour and awful a place that this needed to happen. Batman was needed in this world.
Yeah.
So to watch it sort of play out Batman-ish is kind of tough. It's weird. Howard Stern is a huge fan of this show. Goes on in it, and I listen to Howard every day, and it's like sometimes I agree with him, and I'm like, yes, Howard, totally. Strain, I'm with you. This, that. And then I'm like, Gotham, I'm like, I can't. Blah, blah, blah.
It's also, they're doing something very strange with Riddler, and I'm kind of confused on who they actually think Riddler is and what they've made him out to be, this schizophrenic kind of two-faced. I don't really know what they're getting at here. Some of their villains, people are thinking...
Well, he's going through it. I think that, I understand, is like he's becoming the Riddler.
Yeah, but
I
that's mean, not really the Riddler.
Well, you know what? The Riddler is one of those characters that I think doesn't have that solid of an origin. Like, I think you can kind of play around in there without saying it really contradicts the development of the Riddler. Mm. Like, he's getting to be the Riddler. I'm okay with that one, personally.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's weird. And then the Jerome thing is crazy. I was on a podcast earlier today for SourceFed, and they were talking...
You podcast sluts.
Yeah, I was. Superhero Roundup. It was great. But they were... Matt Lieberman says that he thinks that who's going to be the Joker is actually going to be, if Barbara and Jerome have a kid, then that would be the Joker.
Jerome isn't the Joker. I don't think he's the Joker.
We're going to have...
What?
Then we're going to know the origin of
then the Joker would be too young.
Yeah. Then the Joker is going to be 15 years younger than Bruce Wayne. He's going to be 30 years younger than Riddler. And the whole thing is kind of whack. But I think the weirder kid thing is going to be the fact that right now, the actress who is playing the Doctor has inside her Ben McKenzie's child, and
Dr. Tompkins,
if they use,
and Gordon are having a real baby,
and
real life baby,
and if they use that on the show, and Gordon has a child, and
guys, there's an exclusive coming right now. I know where she's going with this.
And he names her Barbara after his freaking crazy ex. What? is going on in the world. So they're going to have Barbara Gordon, and somehow you're going to convince Dr. Tompkins to have where have you gone, Adam? Where have you gone? You're going to convince him to name it after the girl that tried to kill her, who said, what was that phone call? Like, I'm going to rip your hair out and murder you or something? Where are we going?
I don't even know. I stopped being able to follow you like 48 seconds ago. My brain exploded. Yeah, so they're having a real baby. That happens.
They're having one of them kids. It's a little Gotham kid. Good luck growing up in Gotham.
Do you think that happened during a scene that they were shooting where they were just like being really method and then they're like, oh my God, I didn't know. Were we actually? It was like, yeah, I was just in the scene. I didn't even know. And it's like, I'm pregnant.
I don't think
no chance?
No. Apparently they've been dating and been hiding it.
I've never had a kid before. I'm not exactly sure how the process works.
Well,
there's
a simple process.
Okay. You don't know that.
Guys, in the chat roll, how are babies made? Because I thought that could happen while shooting a scene. It's a love scene, obviously, but...
Obviously.
I don't know. I'm still not sure on it. Guys, I want to talk to you about a non-comic book show. Natural segue here. I actually have family in law enforcement and have been to this really cool place that this new show is about, so I'm really excited to see it. Quantico, which is where they train the FBI and the DEA and maybe to some extent the CIA and things like that, is the subject of a new show on ABC. It's premiering Sunday, September 27th. And basically, this is where the FBI trains their top recruits. Over 100,000 people apply and only 1,200 get into Quantico. They are the smartest, they are the strongest, and they have the best skills. Now, they must live and train under one roof. So it's a lot like going away to law enforcement sleepaway camp in a way.
Well, I can dig it.
Lots of babies making happen in there, I'll bet.
Yeah, exactly.
You get that right.
Well, you know, my brother has a little federal child. Yeah. Oh, yeah. His wife is, yeah. I've said too much. But everything changes on this show when a massive terrorist attack strikes in America and the FBI discover its greatest fear, that one of their top Quantico recruits is a terrorist. Which one is behind it all? Who became the traitor? It's an edge-of-your-seat drama with twist after twist. Priyanka Chopra stars in one of television's top new shows of the fall. Don't miss the series premiere of Quantico. Sunday, September 27th at 10, 9 Central on ABC. That was just an extemporaneous random thought I was having.
Hey,
I drifted
wait,
far
too. Tell me one more time. Where can I find it, though?
You can find it September 27th, premiering Sunday, ABC.
All right.
10, 9 Central.
Awesome.
Quantico.
Thank you. Getting back into some very, very serious business. They wanted to let you know that there's been an answer to your question.
About babies?
Yeah. About babies.
Okay.
Itamar Avedan says...
No, guys, I really want to know. Please.
You stick it inside her and pee.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know why I think that's funny.
Okay.
Yeah. So then there's other people who said,
I'm going to use that as a pickup line.
Mind if I... Oh, I got to pee.
If you don't want to get her pregnant, you pull it out and pee on her leg.
But then that kind of you claim as your territory then.
Right.
You're marking your territory.
Like a dog. Exactly.
I'm in hysterics. Like, okay.
Wow.
You guys in the chat, I love you so much. Thank you for joining us.
We love you guys.
Every week.
If you want to... Oh. I'm just kidding, guys. I know how babies are made. There's a stork. You write a letter. It's fine. If you want to keep laughing, let's take a look
at... So someone's saying, the Flash Podcast is saying that it's Rick Cosnett is in Quantico. Is it true?
Who is?
The Flash. Eddie Gunn.
Rick Cosnett.
Proves my point. Once you get a series, you'll always work.
He goes from one show
one
to the next.
The next.
Good for him.
Good for him.
So Eddie Thon.
Well, he already had a series on CW when he was in Vampire Diaries. So
then he was the series regular on it. He was the guest star.
Damn it!
Good
I'm jealous
him.
Of
good
all these
him,
people.
Man. Good for him. I love seeing that.
Speaking of another interesting series that's coming out new this fall, we have the show, of course, called Supergirl.
New Supergirl.
And we have seen the Red Tornado.
Yeah, we have.
How? What is?
What?
Kind of looks on. Like the Vision from Avengers.
Okay, now I saw that on Twitter. It popped up.
And ladies and gentlemen, Mike Kalinowski.
I don't know what to think of it. Because one, I'm like, you know what? Bravo, tip of the hat to them. They went there.
Yeah.
We weren't getting a Smallville red jacket with red sunglasses and a cap that had a yellow arrow pointing down.
So they did do it on Smallville, right?
No, I'm just saying if he was, like, if we were in the CW, the Smallville world of superheroes. This
I had heard that there was a Red Tornado at one point on Smallville.
Not that I remember. I think there was a Tio Mauro on there, but I don't think they ever
That's what I mean.
But here we are. We're at least getting these shows. They're going. They're putting people in costume.
Yeah.
Good. At least we get that. So on the one hand, I was like, all right, they went for it. On the other hand, I'm kind of like, well, he's a robot. It looks like he's kind of wearing armor, but then he's got the spandex underneath it.
He looks like he's wearing a lot of glitter.
He's got the T on his shirt.
He does.
I think they could have done a better picture. Like the Hawker Hawkman picture. That looked good when they released that.
A better costume or a better photo?
A better photo. Better lighting. This looks like they're on set and an on-set photographer took it.
Looks like it's in Mad Max. Like he's been in the desert
for a
really long
time. They're filming a scene
somewhere.
Every TV show movie always has an on-set photographer to capture stills that they can put out. That's what that was. They were probably filming a scene. He got a break between filming and shot the actor.
I can't, but here's what I don't understand. You hit the nail on the head because, you know, I'm always going to be the first to say, hey guys, let's not... you know, attack the picture until we see it in context.
Yeah.
And as I've said, I'm already a little trepidatious about Supergirl, but they released this picture.
They did.
You
CBS
couldn't have too much shadow on that picture. You couldn't have more shadows. That's all I'm saying. Like
it was out there.
I will say that
it was right out there.
To what you said earlier, Jeremy Mendez in the chat says, everyone always has an issue with these costumes until they see it in action. I think we'll be fine, and I completely agree with that.
I think it was a bad picture to put out there. Maybe it could have been one of those ones with Batman and Superman where they were filming outside and they knew it was going to get leaked anyway, so let's put something out there. Because think of how bad the Reverse Flash costume looked in those pictures when they first released it.
Costume is so good. That's better than the actual Flash costume.
The lighting
people, not with the light,
that is their job to make these actors and these costumes look good with the lighting. So,
it obviously does look very Vision.
But we're getting Red Tornado, which... The Vision is a ripoff of Red Tornado.
Yeah,
Red
but he looks very much like that.
He does.
And I, honestly, I didn't love the Vision's effects. I love the Vision character in Avengers.
It was
one of the
first.
But I didn't love the face. I thought there could have been more of an effect there. It looked like a guy wearing makeup.
What do you guys think about this? Justice Suck says Supergirl needs to prove it's good before having silly characters like Red Tornado.
Listen, like Mike said, they're going for it. And this is Supergirl. This is an Arrow. You need big characters. You need powerful villains to fit in this world.
Yeah.
The thing I'm worried about this show about is how it's going to balance the adventure show and the Devil Wears Prada show. And I hope they can do it well. I'm just saying right now, we're going to have a conversation in a few weeks about this, but that's what I'm nervous about.
Two great points. I hope they're great points. One,
you're already judging your points.
I'm prejudging myself. First season of Arrow didn't really get good to about episode 18, which was like when Deathstroke started coming in for Slade Wilson.
Oh god!
Then
it
took
so
off.
Good.
This show, at least they're not going to make us wait. It seems like. Second of all,
both universes.
Remember Apocalypse when they first showed that picture. Everyone was like, Jesus, that's bad news, that's terrible. But then recently there was a shot of him which looked like a screenshot where he's up differently, you see his mouth is doing the thing, and it looks fantastic. It was like, oh, they listened to the fans, they changed the costume. I was like, if you look at that, that is the exact same costume in those pre-pictures. It's a scene.
When are they
the going to
get wise? Yeah, it really looked bad. That first picture looks
really
terrible,
but seeing in context that guy that put that, I think we need to wait.
I think it looks like a Turbo Man that was buried in the back.
Oh,
Turbo Man. It does look like Turbo Man.
It does, with the T.
You guys are listening in. That's James in the booth. Thanks for chiming in.
Is that for Jingle All the Way?
Jingle All the Way.
Is that a Jingle?
Turbo Man.
Is that the first sort of Sinbad reference on our show?
Jamie, I'm your daddy.
That's my Schwarzenegger.
It's me, Turbo Man.
Your Schwarzenegger is so bad.
I need your daddy. He's like, yo, Jamie, come up here. It's me, your dad.
I love it. I love it. Okay. So there's a really cool...
Before you move on, Robin Carney, Red Tornado, looks like he never peed on a girl in his life.
Oh, God.
Does he have something to pee with, though?
I can't help it. I'm sorry. This pee thing... I've got a pee...
The pee fetish?
No. Oh, my God. Adam, take us out of here before
I
say
boy.
Something.
Oh boy, where was it? Okay, so there's a really cool, speaking of The Flash, there's a really cool VFX spot that you can go on. I found it through superherohype.com, which I always check like 9 times a day. And you can see, speaking of really cool effects and a show that does really out there effects, right? Better than I ever expected. You can see the first of the Atom Smasher. There's also some cool stuff about Grodd. It's a 2.5 minute video. They also show you that really cool all CGI ending shot when Flash is fighting Reverse Flash with the mother in the middle, and they show how, like, you know, they built the CG double of Barry Allen. Like, and they openly acknowledge the fact that they shouldn't be able to do the stuff that they're able to do as well as they do it on The Flash.
Mm-hmm. Good people working
on it. So, listen, I just don't know why. You know, CBS has obviously got a bigger budget than CW, I would think.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's the thing, is like, I don't know if it's just an ill-conceived thing with Red Tornado or what. Like I said, we'll have to see. It could be all kinds of effects that help sell it, but check out Atom Smasher. We see Atom Smasher shrink before we actually see the Atom shrink. And he looks great. Like, they're doing a really cool thing with his character now. Whether or not Atom Smasher will eventually become a hero, who knows? Like he was in the comics. I know he started, you know, he was an All-Star Squadron in the comics. But it looks really cool. So go check out that video, guys. And, you know, Flash just looks great. And there's also a little bit of word that Teen Titans is still in development.
That's never happened.
A guy who knows a guy who knows a guy said that he heard from this other guy that they still wanted. Yeah.
This is my favorite voice that you do. You're Teen Titans.
All right. Teen Titans.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
Go, 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 Teen Titans. Oy. So it might still be happening. Stephen R. McQueen was like putting pictures of himself up there to be Nightwing.
That's what's up. Another one of my CW passions.
Okay, tell me about this Vampire Diaries actor.
Yeah, he was like this little kid who started on this season.
And then he became a man.
Yeah, he straight up did. He went to the gym every day. He like said they Roxy wrote Stryer. Into his character. He got big and buff and cute. And
he said, "Roxy Stryer, I'm a big man now. I want to pee on your leg."
He said that, and I was like, "Listen, you can't pee on my leg. You can't. First, you have to buy me a collar." Oh my god. It's so bad. It's so bad. I can't talk about that anymore. But he is gone from the series now. He left this year.
Right.
He's not gone like Nina Dobrev, who actually played his sister on the show. But he's gone. Weren't you on the show? Don't you know about? Have you met him?
I was on the show. Yes. I've never met him.
Oh.
I was too busy working out.
Oh, which is when he was
part of the Vampire Diaries. We get contracts, we have to work out.
But yeah, well, apparently he did. So I'd like to see him in something else. I'd like to see him in something CW.
Well, he seems to have taken to Instagram like a lot of other people do when they want to get superhero roles.
Can we stop this? Can we please just stop actors that want to do stuff? You know what? I've got a Batman suit at home. I've got a ton of costumes. I'm going to start all my comics. I'm going to put my 30 comic book boxes with me next to him, like, God, I want to be on your show.
I will totally follow. Hey, will you guys follow Mike on Instagram if he does this?
It's desperation to me. It's like, you know,
it's weird.
Has one actor been hired by this?
I don't know.
No, they haven't, and they won't be.
Yes, absolutely they have.
We still don't know.
Like he said earlier,
Tyrese might still be Jon Stewart. We still don't know. There's radio silence on Green Lantern
Ryan
casting.
Ryan Reynolds was hired like this, wasn't he?
Not really.
He was not.
No.
He was always the guy. Star-Lord was hired like that because his Instagram photos, he was in better shape from when he was on Parks and Rec.
Oh, well, that's different than putting up like a bunch of Guardians of the Galaxy comics.
Chris Pratt has like a.
He posted a picture of him. He was doing Zero Dark 30.
Yeah.
And he was working out, got rid of that. And that kind of got him in the room, I think.
Yeah.
So, because he went originally for G.I. Joe and he was kind of pudgy and they just kind of laughed at him in the room. But I don't think. There's no one. If you got an actor like Matt Damon recently said, he's like, if Chris Nolan directed Daredevil, I would do it in a heartbeat. Now, you know, there's some exec somewhere going, ah, oh, damn it. Can we make this work?
Yeah.
And then that's probably where it ended. But that's where, if someone like Matt Damon or someone says, I want to do this role.
Yeah.
Some studio's going to jump through hoops to get it done.
If he really wanted to do it, then he would do it himself.
Who even knows if Teen Titans is going to happen? I think it will determine how well Supergirl. It will be determined by how well Supergirl does.
Popped up since our Teen Titans, let's say it's been developed for, I'd say, 3 years now.
We've had might be a little shows, bit of a stretch, but okay.
All these shows popping up, Supergirl, that we're getting a Hawk Girl.
I only heard about it within the year. I would say it's only been developing.
It's been a while. Okay. It went through something called Bluebirds. It was called Bluebirds at
one point.
But
we've talked about it on this show when we were first talking about it.
But Small Girl, Supergirl.
Small Girl.
Small Girl. Supergirl, Hawk Girl's coming up with the show. All these characters, and they're going forward so fast.
I could be Titans Small Girl. Titans is done. You could definitely I would small Instagram girl. About being Small Girl.
Titans is done. There's not going to be a Titans
show. So moving on from TV news, here's a couple. We're going to leave you with a couple of interesting bits of DC related news. We don't have time to show you all 40 variant covers for Dark Knight 3, The Master Race, but please check them out. They look amazing. This comic is giving artists the opportunity to pay homage to many people's favorite all-time Batman story. I know it's mine. But the one that I thought that we wanted to show you was the Dave Gibbons one, because the two graphic novels that I came up with that were my standout favorites, you know, me and a lot of people, were Watchmen and The Dark Knight Returns. So it's really cool to see Dave Gibbons doing an homage with Kerry Kelly as Robin and The Dark Knight. So there's over 40 variant covers, and a lot of them are going to be specific to your comic book retailers. I know some people... What's that?
I saw Brad. Kerry Kelly there. I was like, Jenna Malone?
Oh, yeah, Jenna Malone, exactly. Some people have really complained that it's too many variants, but I would say, listen, a lot of these are special for the comic book stores. This is to make sure people go out to actual comic book retailers and buy their individual variants. So you're going to have people, collectors, traveling to all the different stores. I think this is exciting. And now I just hope that the story's great.
Speaking of comics that were on that, I want to talk to everyone out there that's listening or watching right now, because I'm kind of in this rut with comics lately.
Okay.
I always go every Wednesday, and I plunk down $30, $40 at the store. And I've noticed over the past 3-4 months, I'm going like every 2 weeks, every 3 weeks. I'm spending less and less. And I looked at my comics the other day, and there's just not... There's nothing good out.
Nothing that you're really
this
excited
about. This Convergence, and you guys know me. I'm a DC guy. I love my Marvel, too.
I did not like the Convergence, what I read of it.
Marvel lost me about 4 years ago. When they started streamlining all their comics to fit their movies, they lost me. And the couple of Marvel titles that I'm still into right now, they keep resetting after 2-3 issues with a new number one. So Marvel's kind of lost me. DC now has borderline lost me.
Are you looking for suggestions?
Or are people out there, are you guys feeling the same thing that I am? I grew up with comics since I was a kid. And
I'm with you.
Because I'm not reading comics as much.
I think I collected at the same time as you. And what I really, for most of the time that I collected hardcore, there was a solid continuity. And it was that continuity the whole time. So I feel like I have my continuity, and I own it. So I'm with you. It's like if I dip back in, I pick up a couple of books, but I'm not as invested because the continuity isn't as tight. And I think part of the reason is that they want people to be able to get individual books so they're more spread out. They don't – like at my peak, I was collecting 4 Batman titles a month, 4 Superman titles a month. But they all tied into each other.
Everyone's telling you, read indie books. Indie books all the way. Indie books have been killing it.
A lot of people talk about Saga being the hottest thing down the pike in a while.
When they say indie books,
how
far indie are they going? Because I picked up Chrononauts by Mark Millar, which was phenomenal.
That sounds cool.
Velvet is great. I read Velvet. Uncanny is a really great book.
Not Uncanny X-Men.
Thieves.
Well, that doesn't even exist anymore, does it?
Thickest Thieves or something Thieves, which is a really good book. So I have gone more. Lazarus is a great one.
Right.
So I have gone more indie.
You read The Boys?
I have not. I love my DC. I need my superhero fix.
You guys have to tweet at him because they're giving some great suggestions in here.
Yeah,
so.
At Mike Konosky. So please.
Because a lot of these comments are going to disappear. So.
I want to talk about this. Let's have some conversations online because I love DC. I love Marvel.
I just love comics.
You got Justice League. You got Bruce Wayne in there. But then in his own title, he's.
I love the independent stuff too, but I like seeing the mainstream heroes in good titles. And I'm a little
I don't want anyone comic shop to go out of business. I want comics keep thriving. So I love my indie stuff, but I love my DC. And DC is just. Marvel lost me, and now DC is really kind of losing me.
Some people in here are agreeing with you, but they're helping you out by telling you that you should. Check out Bane Cat number 1.
Is that a real thing?
Is there a Bane Cat number 1? Can I pick that up?
Okay, guys, we got to close it up. But one thing I really did want to point out finally before we go, professional boxing. We talked about wrestling in here sometimes, but Tyson Fury, who was supposed to be challenging Vladimir Klitschko, who's been the heavyweight champion for quite a while, at a promotion for their upcoming fight, shows up dressed as Batman, jumps around, has another guy dressed up as Joker, then takes the guy down, then proceeds to dress down Klitschko, saying what a boring champ he is and how he's going to end his reign easily.
Klitschko.
He's going to end Klitschko. He's going to end the KG Beast. He is Batman. And then, like, the next day, the fight was postponed, apparently, because Vladimir Klitschko has a calf injury. So I don't know if the guy just, like, psyched him out by dressing up as Batman and struck fear into his heart. But I thought that was pretty ridiculous. If you haven't seen the video of this guy showing up, he's a terrible-looking Batman. He's got an awful beard, looks nothing like it, but how ridiculous.
Just these pictures alone, it's like you look at this and you're like, what the F is going on? I
give him props because, like, who really cares about heavyweight professional boxing anymore? So he's trying to give it a little bit of theatrics.
All right.
What's your aunt?
Oh, I don't know anything about that world, so it's kind of like...
It was interesting.
Step back. Bring in some clout to it.
All right, guys. It's been a lot of fun. Is there anything else you guys want to say before we say farewell?
The only thing I was going to say is don't try to make your car into a Batmobile because apparently it's copyrighted and they won that lawsuit, so you don't want to do that.
That's right. There's only one Batmobile.
Yep.
So for DC Movie News, I'm Adam Gertler. Find me at Adam Gertler.
I'm Roxy Shire. You can find me at Roxy Stryer.
Mike Kalinowski, get me at Mike Kalinowski.
We're so easy.
And where can we find us, our show? We're at...
You can find us at DC Movies SK. Use the hashtag DC Movie News. We're all over Popcorn Talk Network. We're on Facebook. We're on iTunes. We're on SoundCloud. We're everywhere. And, of course, you can talk to Johnny LaQuasto at JQuasto. Anywhere you want. Why are you laughing?
Because you have a lot to learn about hitting the posts. We'll see you next time, guys.
Producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network. We would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only.
And this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.